Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Tough night for the Penguins, although things have actually been decent lately. Here to talk about all of that, our friend, Stanley Cup champion Jay Caulfield is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Jay, good to talk with you. How are you today?
Not bad, Joe. Yourself? Everything good?
Yeah, everything's good. Yep. Jay, brought to you by Tom's Watch Bar. Limits whispered in my ear right then, right as you were asking, inquiring as to my well-being, Jay, so I didn't even hear the question.
I'm sorry, Jay.
No, but you answered perfectly. That's fine, Austin. No problem at all.
So there was some booze in the building last night, Jay, and Sid didn't appreciate them. He mentioned that today. Were you on teams that were ever booed? How do athletes deal with booing?
I think there's given nights though, Joe, like any given night, like the fans feel they have a right, they pay a lot of money to go to a game and they feel they have the right to voice their opinion. And so I think maybe on a given night, there might've been a game that wasn't going well and they'll let you know that, but not the way it's raining down over the last couple of weeks, you know, of what it's been in certain games, right? Nothing like that. But on a given night, yeah, there's been teams where the fans let you know that they're not appreciating the effort. And that's what it's been like, but not like this, how it sounded over a couple of weeks ago, or 10 days ago was worse. Last night you could hear it on the power play and things like that. But yeah, it's going to happen with the money. It's going to happen when they're not seeing what they want. And again, it's their right. They pay a lot of money to go to a game, and they're going to be that way. They're passionate about it, and you go from there. But I understand where Crosby's coming from, too.
Yeah, it was his opinion that there's been times this year where it is deserved, but he didn't feel like last night was one. I wasn't there, but I got the impression that he thought that the effort was okay last night. Did you, or how did you?
Yeah, that's kind of why I felt. That's what I kind of felt. Obviously, you even heard Mike Sullivan talk about it. Certain things weren't good, but I didn't feel that way. It was a tight game. I mean, it was a close game.
Yeah,
the shots were down on both sides, but the game looked different from Colorado's standpoint. If you're looking at them, they were pushing it with their high end talent. They kept working it. They kept getting and just maneuvering and getting better looks. The Penguins didn't have that, but it was a tight game. So I didn't feel that. That's how I felt about it too. This wasn't like that 6-0 game in Dallas or some of the other efforts that people could really be sour about. This was a different look against a really good, high-powered team that started off slow, but is coming on. The Penguins are catching them when they're starting to feel their game. So, yep, that's how I felt about it. But it wasn't as drastic or dramatic as it was, like I said, over a week ago when they were really letting the Penguins know how unhappy they were about it.
Well, Jay, a very exciting development here. City Limits is going to join our conversations. Please, Limits,
very
go.
Good.
Jay, great to talk to you. I have a question about Ryan Graves. He was -2 in the plus-minus yesterday against Colorado, trying to get him back into the fold, played against Toronto after not playing since November 23rd against Utah. What have you seen in his game the last two games. And do you think that maybe something is starting to turn for him, or is it the same old, same old?
I think he was way more physical in his first game back, and I think he tried to be the same way last night. And, you know, you're a big body and in the game. Listen, last night they needed to be physical, right? They just needed to be more physical, not just Ryan Graves, across the board. The whole team in general, like, you got to put heat on him. Ryan Graves, he might have been minus two last night, but the first one, Austin, wasn't his. You know, he's accepting a 2-on-1 coming back, and they scored on it. So nothing he did there. And the other one, you know, he gets. You know, I mean, it's going to happen. Sometimes that plus minus can be. You know, look, sometimes it really dictates how your play is going. Other times you could be on the wrong side of a plus-minus rate on a given night when you had nothing to do with the negativity of a play and you get a minus. So that's what happened to him on the first one. But he has to be, right? He has to be more physical. He has to play that way all the time. He has to be able to jump up the play, get the puck to the forwards, and be tough in front of their own net. And if he can't, if he doesn't do that, then it's going to be same old, same old. But I thought he picked up his physicality, and he tried to do it again last night, and they just were on the wrong side of it.
Jay Caulfield joining me, talking Penguins here. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, and the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Generally speaking, Jay, the Penguins have played pretty good lately, I would say. Yeah. And the one loss record tells you that. What has gotten better?
The goaltending been better. The power play up until last night. Last night, they didn't feel the game last night. But the power play, the goaltending, that kind of thing, you're getting depth scoring. They're the things that stood out over this 10-game stretch. Joe, I looked at this. We maybe even talked about it last week. Guys, this 10 games, games 21 through 30, was a really tough schedule. Was a tough grind when your team's not feeling the game. And they, if they would have won last night, it would have been a really nice way to finish out that 10-game run. And I go by those 10 games because if you think about it, there's 82 games in a season. You need the minimum. Like, if you think your wild card spot was 95 points, do the math. You better produce 12, you know, 13, 14, 15 points in these 10-game segments. And they had a really pretty good run, as good as they could have in this last 10, but against tough teams. And they played good, Joe. But the goaltending each and every night has to be on top of it. And last night, if you just don't get, you know, listen, it's a difference maker each and every night. You can have the greatest offensive skill up front. If you can't keep the puck out of your net, you're going to be on the wrong side of it. Well, this 10 games, this past little stretch, it's been much better. And the team in front of the guys has been better, right? They're not giving up as many grade-A chances, odd man rushes, all those kind of things. That is all part of the team playing better and the type of hockey Mike Sullivan wants to see.
Are you in favor, Jay, of splitting the power play between Sid and Gino?
Hey, look, it's looked better than what they were doing before, Joe. And last night's a bad. Last night it got away from them a little bit, but still the unit. Like, listen, I've said this about Michael Bunning from the beginning of the season. Last year he was on the number one unit at the end of the season when they were on. They all of a sudden were picking it up. He comes into camp and he finds himself not on the number one unit. He's on the second unit, which is basically mop up duty, right? Even though it's a responsibility, even if you get 20 seconds. Make it the most, but that's not what you're looking at. He's showing what he can do and what he means, what he can be on a power play, you know, if it's the number one unit. So getting him in it and having Malkin and Crosby split up, it's looked really good. Crosby with Letang and Grizzlick have been really good together. They moved the puck well in a power play unit. I've never been a fan of 2D on a power play except late in a power play, but I think it's been good, Joe. And, I don't know if it'll continue. If you have another night like last night, maybe they'll change that up. But I thought they both units have been very good. And we'll see how it goes as they go into Montreal. But I have no problem with it, especially they've been successful. And they've gained momentum in games, Joe. Even if they don't score, they've gained momentum. And it has to continue. All those things kind of have to continue for the Penguins to get out of the part of the standings that they're in. They need great goaltending. They need their special teams to be really good. And we talked about depth scoring, and we need the top lines to get going as well.
Lastly, Jay, our friend and yours, Josh Yoey, wrote the other day that the Penguins would certainly be open and would might even pursue some sort of role in the organization for Jaromir Jagr. I imagine you'd be in favor of that. What could you envision him doing? I'd like to see him work with the power play myself.
Yeah, I'm not sure. You know, he's still involved in his own, you know, back home for him, and certainly having anybody in like that is a plus. And it could be, look, Mario's been around here for all these. Think about, you have the best power play mind in the world in Mario Lemieux here, and people don't, they've never really utilized, the coaching staff there, I don't think Mario stepped on any toes, but God, if you ever wondered what was going on with the power play, well, you have Mario sitting in the suite each and every night that we, you know, until the sale and all that kind of thing. So if Jagr comes here and they utilize what he has to offer, anything with him here is a plus, especially how the great ceremony that they put on last year, him back in the fold, back in Pittsburgh, people will love it. It's great PR for the Penguins. And I think if they utilize his mind and what he means to the game, what he means as far as what you can do on a power play, certainly. But there are so many great players. You know, Joe, it's so funny because look at who the Penguins can throw out on the power play and what happens, and they have great talent. But sometimes you have to take a look at it, and if you have some access to somebody like Jagr, certainly they should do it. But like I said, they had access to Mario for all these years, and that's never really been taken up.
Jay, I appreciate the time. I think that, honest to God, that Jagr and Mario at their current age and their current state would have helped last year's power play on the ice playing. It was so bad. Thank you, Jay.
Hey, you're welcome, Joe. You guys take care.
See you, buddy. I really believe that. I believe that last year's Penguins power play, and somebody should do a study of this, might have been the worst relative to pedigree. Relative to pedigree, might have been the worst power play in the history of the NHL. And in fact, I'm going to do a study on that. Limits, would you help me?
I will. And I think we should also evaluate scoring on their own goal.
Well, that's easy to evaluate. It was comically hideous and one of the worst plays in NHL history and perhaps emblematic of their demise.
Thank you for evaluating it for
You're
me.
You're welcome. I think you and I should go back and look at every bottom five power play in NHL history and create some sort of rating system. Now, this year it's been better, although it still stinks. It's like 14th. Maybe something like all-star appearances relative to number of power play goals on the year. Something like that. And I'm going to bet you, first of all, throw out all expansion teams or include them. I don't care. But based on pedigree, that might have been the worst there ever was. I think they were second last in the NHL.
I think it was third, but yeah, I mean, it's splitting hairs. Compared to the number of Hall of Famers that they had, what, four on that power play? And it didn't work? It still is baffling to me that they could not find a way to get it to work at all.
Get it to work? They couldn't find a way to get it to score a goal? How many power play goals did they score? Plus, they were giving up shorthanded chances left and right. I mean, it was hideous beyond belief. At least this year, it's not hideous, although I will stick to my opinion. Listen, the boos aren't the worst news over at the paint can. They aren't the worst news. The worst news will be if there's nobody there to boo. And there's a distinct possibility of that. It's trending in that direction, even with the stars still around. If the idea is to keep all the stars to sell tickets, well, guess what? Less and less, fewer and fewer tickets are getting sold.
Yeah, there were a lot of empty seats in the lower bowl.
This is going to be a situation worth monitoring. Is what if the Penguins, after this brief little surge, what if it goes back to what it was? What if they turn out just to be horrendous this year? It's going to get ugly over there. Real ugly. Might that prompt some people who otherwise wouldn't want to get out of town to get out of town? I don't know. But things do change in pro sports. And they change quickly.
And it's a realistic possibility. We've seen instances maybe foreshadowing that that's going to be the case with some games and big matchups, big situations. There's not a lot of people there. I was there at a game earlier this year. not a lot of people in the stands.
Well, that's the problem. Again, if it gets ugly in the games with booing and stuff, that would be the good news compared to what it could be. I can't wait to answer this email. I'm only reading the beginning of it from a man named Ed. I disagree with the need to address baseball's revenues, but I agree that isn't the Pirates' problem. Like, okay, what more can you do with baseball revenues? I don't want to talk about it anymore. You know what? I talked about it enough yesterday and today. They're raking in money like never before. The changes they made to the game have brought people back to the ballpark. Billions and billions in media deals. They're all doing fine financially, including the Pirates. So the system isn't broken. The system is flourishing. But up next, let's hear what Big Ben had to say about Mike Tomlin's Coach of the Year candidacy, which is going to undergo quite the test. It's either it could be strengthened to the point where he's a lock over these next three games. It could be ruined, or it could be somewhere in between. What did Ben have to say? I'll tell you next. The injury report brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. Of course, with George Pickens, not great. Doesn't sound like he's going to play for a couple games. Mike Tomlin seems adamant that the Steelers are okay behind Pickens at receiver. I adamantly disagree. I imagine you do too. Yes, Limits? I mean, those guys, yeah, they're okay. That's not really a knock or shredding Scotty Miller or Van Jefferson or Mike Williams or anybody else. They're all decent 3 and 4 guys. They're okay. But when the competition stiffens, which it surely will starting this week, can they then, you know, be difference makers? And if they can, by the way, I'm open to that idea. You know, Van Jefferson helped the team win a Super Bowl 1 year. I'm open to the idea. But I have to see it before I start delivering the kinds of I told you so's that Tomlin was given to the media over the weekend. Of course, according to our friend Dave, that was just Tomlin motivating Scotty Miller, right?
Yeah, he was probably not the biggest Joe Starkey fan in the world.
Well, obviously, Limits. That's Tony, not Dave.
I know. We can't play what Dave said.
We can play some of what Dave said. In fact, Donnie Football played it and completely misrepresented the whole thing.
That is true.
Did you hear it?
I did. I listened to it live.
Yeah, he played it from the middle. And then they wondered why I called Dave a gutless coward. That'll make Scotty Miller play really good. Come on, what are you talking about?
Maybe it will. Maybe
what?
It will.
It will. Okay.
Get your head out of your ass, Joe. Get your head out of your ass, man. Coach softball.
Go coach girls softball.
That was pretty low.
Yeah, which I should have said. What's wrong? What's wrong with softball? But as I said yesterday. Well, I said everything I needed to say about Dumb Dumb Dave.
Dumb Dumb Dave.
Good nickname for him.
Maybe you should have gave him a Dumb Dumb.
What was I saying, though, about Dumb Dumb Dave? Oh, he seemed to think it was, you know, motivational. Oh, then I was talking about Donnie and how he completely misrepresented it. And then Pony was saying, well, this guy doesn't sound like a coward. Well, Pony didn't know the part of the story where the guy called in saying, oh, I'm not calling to argue, trying to set me up and soften me up, when he really was calling to argue. If you want to call and come after me in some way and have a good sports argument, let's do it. Don't sneak in the back door like Dumb Dumb Dave did with the little, I didn't call to argue, I'm not here to argue, and then immediately go to what he went to. What did he go to? He called me an ass?
Yeah, and he was talking about softball, and you called him a gutless cowherd.
Yeah.
A gutless coward.
A gutless Colin Cowherd? No, a gutless
coward. That's
what
I said at first, yeah. I like Colin Cowherd. Very good at his job.
So do I. I think he's good, but you said coward.
I did. So you went personal at him after he went personal at you, is what Pony was saying.
Yes, I did.
So did you disprove your entire point?
Which was what?
That you shouldn't call in and call people names and be just disrespectful and rude.
Or if you do, I'll call you names and be disrespectful and rude back.
There we go.
So yeah, that is my point. Exactly my point.
I'm glad we got it clear.
You and Donnie both seem to be on the side of Dumb Dumb Dave.
I'm not on Dumb Dumb Dave's side. No, not at all.
How was he when he called? at first, Mr. Nice Guy, right?
Well, somewhat civil. Sometimes, yeah. You know, callers call in and they're passionate. Yeah. They're fired up.
Right.
He was more so fired up, but I didn't think it was going to lead that direction.
Yeah, I mean, now we're collecting them with between Dum Dum Dave and what'd we call Tony? What was his nickname?
Oh, I don't know where that is. I'll play this again. Jackass Tony.
Jackass Tony, yeah. We're going to have a basketball team. All we need is five. We can put our team on the floor.